This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We could go ahead. Okay. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. أما بعد, today's hadith, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is hadith 24 in the series, it talks about loving for Allah's sake and at the same time how that helps us find the sweetness of iman, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب أن يجد طعم الإيمان فليحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله عز وجل. وفي رواية من سره أن يجد طعم الإيمان فليحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله عز وجل. So the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام said, the one who would love, or in another narration, the one who would be happy to, happy or loved. So the one who would love to find, have the sweetness of iman, let them love someone only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So let them love someone only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you want to find the sweetness of iman, this is its path, and its path is love and loving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we will understand why, inshaAllah, shortly. Now, this is not the first time that we encounter that phrase, the sweetness of iman. So if you go to previous ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ talked about the sweetness of iman. But for this part, we're told you have to find it through loving for Allah's sake. Now, we are always in love. We are always loving something in someone. If you remember what we said before, the reason why we move is because of love, right? So you love something, so you go after it. And you hate something, so you run away from it. That's the motivation for all the other emotions and for all movement in life. There's an external and an internal movement, but all of it is based on love. So how you plan your day, how you plan your meals, how you plan your get-togethers, how you plan your travels, or even your vacations or where you stay, all these things depend on love. All of us seem to be consumed by the love of certain things, so we all love beauty, but we love it differently. Our appreciation of it, our standards are different. We love money, but what do you do with money and how you use it and why you love it is different. So we love similar things differently, and we love different things. But nonetheless, we love. And when we love, if you think about it, everything that we love because it brings us benefit, and it protects us from harm. There is benefit in anything that you love. So loving other things is an extension of loving yourself. If you think about it, why do you love it? It brings me benefit. Why do you love that? Because you love yourself. Why do you hate it? Because it harms me. Why is that? Why do you hate what harms you? Because I love myself. So you look after yourself. And when that's the case, you understand that as human beings, we cannot escape that reality because we are dependent human beings. We can't call that love selfish, because that type of love is necessary for our survival. As dependent human beings, I need to focus on what benefits me. I need to run away from what harms me. The only one who loves, can really love without any return for that love, is Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is self-sufficient. So He doesn't need anything from you. And what He needs from you is not really a need. What He wants you to do is for your own benefit. So He doesn't take anything from you. But I cannot survive on love that does not benefit me. I have to love something that benefits me. And again, we're saying that this is not selfish. This is, in fact, a reality, and that's the motivation for going to Jannah and wanting it, for hating hellfire and trying to escape it. So it's, whatever we love is an extension of our loving ourselves. So we want to and desire to maximize our benefit. Not in a very calculating, business-like way. No. Even on a deep emotional way, whatever you love, you think that it's going to benefit you. So that's why you love it. So we want to maximize benefit, and we want to reduce and minimize harm. That's what we do when we love. The question here to ask ourselves is, and I know this is kind of theoretical a little bit, but it really has a practical side. And the practical side is, if that what love is supposed to do, is what I'm loving now doing this? Is it maximizing my benefit and minimizing my harm? Whatever love that you are in love with at this moment. You love a particular meal and food, a particular activity, a particular person, a particular book, a particular idea. Is that love maximizing my benefit, really helping me, or is it hurting me? And if it hurts me, is it a good type of love? And if it's not benefiting me, is it good type of love? So it has to really fulfill these conditions. Now, what complicates that, all of it, is that sometimes we love what is not good for us. And we hate what is good for us, right? And that's what I want to really come to, is that love on its own cannot be a compass. Love on its own cannot be what dictates what's right and what's wrong. Because that is something that is popular in some circles. If you feel like it, if you love it, if you love so-and-so, then love itself justifies the end. As long as you're in love with this thing or that person. But what we want to say Islamically, that love on its own needs guidance. It doesn't justify. It's not on its own righteous. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It's perhaps you dislike something that is good for you, and that you like something that is bad for you, and Allah knows, but you do not know. Because if you really know, that's the first thing, if you really know that that thing is bad for you, would you love it? No. If you really know, if you really have that understanding, that thing is bad for you, would you love it on an intellectual, okay, level? You say no, absolutely not. Or if this thing is really good for you, would you hate it? No. On a deep intellectual level, based on conviction, no, I wouldn't do that, right? But Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us what? That we lack knowledge. Allah knows and you do not know. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla will legislate things that you will resist. I don't like this. And tell you not to do things that you like. I really want to do that. If you let your emotions guide you, your feelings guide you, you'll disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you will behave ignorantly because Allah said, I know and you don't. So who are you going to listen to? The one who knows and the one who doesn't? Are you listening to your emotions or Allah's judgment, or Allah's advice, Allah's recommendation, based on His deep and, you know, encompassing knowledge of what that thing will bring you? So if you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will subjugate your emotions to Him. Whatever you feel will be secondary, and whatever Allah azza wa jal commands will be primary. So you do this out of belief that Allah knows, but I do not know. And my benefit and my harm are not really detected by my own wisdom, by my own insights. Sometimes they can, but not all the time. Allah Azza wa Jalla also said in the Quran, just to kind of confirm what that ayah said, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Perhaps you may hate something, and Allah puts plenty of good in it. So if you are not a person who is going to push himself and resist his feelings to do what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you, and if you just submit to what you love or what you hate, then you're going to miss out on a lot of good, or you run into a lot of harm based on listening to yourself. So we're not supposed to simply listen to ourselves, because the self pushes us or pulls us back towards what is comfortable, what it is based on its short-sightedness, good or bad, right? So, I said we cannot trust our emotions. Harm and benefit are sometimes hidden, right? That's why also at times, right, if you pray istikhara, is it based, the consequence is based on what you feel? It shouldn't be, right? Because again, that answers the question. A feeling after istikhara could be something, a feeling based on attachment. I like this so much, right? So I want to do it. So that attachment does not indicate a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's not feelings. Now, sometimes, as we said, harms and benefits are hidden, and that's why you cannot really trust your emotions, what you like and you dislike. Also, at the same time, the harm and benefits are visible, meaning others can see them, but you're blind to them. And you're blind to them simply because of your emotions. You know when somebody loves someone so much they can't see their faults? Right? Or you want something so much you can't see the dangers that are in it. Somebody on the outside has to point that to you. So why can they see it and you can't? So there is this blindness attached to love, especially overwhelming love. That's why you need the insight and the counsel of people around you to tell you, is this path right or wrong? This person right or wrong? Your own judgment, male or female, your own judgment is insufficient until you consult, and that's why consultation is important. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, and this is sahih to him, rahimahu radiallahu anhu, حُبُّكَ لِلشَّيْءِ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. He says, loving something blinds and deafens. So this sahabi radiallahu anhu is saying what? حُبُّكَ لِلشَّيْءِ, when you love something, يُعْمِي, causes you to be blind. وَيُصِمْ, causes you to be deaf. So you won't hear anyone's advice. No, you're wrong, I'm right. You can't see their faults, right? وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ وَلَكِنَّ عَيْبَ السُّخْطِ تُبْدِي الْمَسَاوِيَ. As the poet have said, عَيْنُ الرِّضَى عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ. It's as if you're happy and pleased with something, your eye becomes unable to see its mistakes, as if it's sick. You know when you're sick and you can't see? As if the eye becomes sick, you can't see the mistakes there. وَلَكِنَّ عَيْنَ السُّخْطِ. But if you're angry with something, your eye will detect only its mistakes. You don't see anything good with them. And even the good you'll misinterpret as something bad. So what is happening here? What filter are you using? Those are the filter of emotions, love and hate. So yeah, you can know it's visible, right? But at the same time, you're too emotionally attached. You can't let go. Somebody has to come and tell you this is wrong, this is right. Point out these things to you. And of course, I mean, we can't downplay the power of habit. When you're so comfortable with something, you can't let go of it, even though you know it's bad for you. So take the example of any addiction that a person has, any type of addiction, whether it's really serious or not so serious, but something that you are used to, that you know in yourself is not good for you, but you can't let go of it. Part of it is emotional. Though you know that, it's not good, but you'll continue to do it. Because it's hard to let go of that, right? So emotions are involved in this. So if love is biased, that's one, and it's limited by our surroundings, it cannot be the compass. It cannot on its own tell us what is right and what is wrong. And it's also important to realize that there are different types of love. There is noble love and there is a lowly type of love, a low type of love. Noble, great, and a low, harmful love. There is love that is noble, beneficial, and there is love that is destructive as well. So you could love what you hate, what harms you. And if you love what harms you, that's destructive. So not all love is good, right? Not all love is good. And that is something that we kind of want to plant firmly in our minds and our hearts, because you will hear in popular culture from some non-Muslims who will say, as long as you love, that is okay. As long as love is that underlying emotion, that is okay. And we have to say, no, love sometimes is good for you and love sometimes is bad for you, right? Don't people commit crimes because of love? Right? Crimes of passion, right? So it can't be that love is always beneficial or that love is always sublime. So the hadith talked about loving for Allah's sake, right? And that love for Allah's sake is unique. As loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique, loving for His sake is also unique, right? So loving someone, a created being, is unlike loving Allah azza wa jal, very different. We talked about this before, right? And when you want to love for Allah's sake, because He's unique, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'd be unlike loving for anybody else's sake. So some of the benefits of loving for Allah's sake. So it protects you from loving the wrong thing or the right thing the wrong way. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is one who is inspiring that love and its limits. So if you're loving for the sake of yourself or the sake of somebody else, you can love whatever. There's no guidance. I think it's good, so I will love it. I think it's bad, so I'll hate it. How much you're going to love and how much you're going to hate, that also there is no guidance surrounding that. So no safeguards. No light to tell you what to do and what not to do. But when you love Allah for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the compass? What is the direction? Where is the direction coming from? Allah. Because now you'll say, what and whom should I love? Allah loves this, this, this. Then you know, I'm supposed to love this. I'm supposed to stay away or hate these. Okay. How should I love these? This way and this way and that way. So there's guidance. So you're not left to your own self, to your own decisions, to your own speculation. There is ways for you to love what Allah Azza wa Jalla love. And for that kind of an extraction from it, if Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you what to love and how to love it, you can't love something that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves in the wrong way and say that that's fine. So doing what Allah hates in the name of loving Him is a contradiction. And namely, that's the premise of bid'ah, right? So anyone who commits a bid'ah, what's a bid'ah, by the way? It's something that is innovated in Islam. It's a practice that is not legislated, and that is not sanctioned. So anyone who commits a bid'ah, even if I and you are committing that bid'ah, what is the intent? To please Allah Azza wa Jalla, right? It can't be the opposite, because that person is undergoing doing a religious thing. Okay, it's a religious activity. So of course it's the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. What makes it wrong? It's not the intent, but the path, the way, and how you're doing it. So you love Allah Azza wa Jal the wrong way, you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam the wrong way, you love the Sahaba the wrong way, then of course you've crossed the limit and that's not a proper type of love. So if you want to love anyone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, listen to how He wants you to love them. So you cannot exaggerate, for instance, the praise of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the praise of some of the Sahaba, or the praise of a sheikh, a living or dead, simply because you say, I'm honoring by doing that. That's not really not proper love, right? The second also, it allows you to rise above, right? And before I forget this, there's an ayah, and we always repeat this ayah, kind of just to confirm that love and sunnah, or love and obedience, are connected. Where Allah Azza wa Jal said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Say, if you love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. So if you want to get that love, follow Him, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no other way, right? You follow, right? That's what it says. There's no other way. How are you going to get Allah's love? How are you going to get Allah to love you? He says, follow me. So if you follow me in what I'm telling you to do and I'm telling you not to do, you'll get Allah's love. If you want to get Allah's love through another way, you have missed the destination. You have missed the way. Because it can't happen that way. So that's why, if you want Allah to love you, then follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who tells you, pray this way, and fast this way, and feel this way, and don't feel this way, and live as he lived, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, the second benefit of love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal is that you rise above love for your own sake, and that love is immature, short, and not stable. So if you love simply for your own sake, you yourself as a being is not permanent, right? And you keep changing your minds all the time. I mean, have you experienced a time where at one point in your life you hated a specific cuisine and now you like it? A specific drink and now you hate it, or vice versa? You had a specific taste, but now it changed, right? Have you experienced that? If not, you will. So you are yourself, you lack stability. So if you are not simply going to love for your own sake, and you hate for your own sake, that one is immature, because it keeps changing. Oh, he said something bad to me, now I hate him. Oh, he apologized, now I love him again. Right? He didn't call me. That's it between me and him. Because the bond is not strong. You don't have anything to hold on to that person except your own feeling. So you can begin or you can end a relationship. So it's not stable, and it's very childish, and it's very immature. But if you love for Allah's sake, you rise above all of this. Because now Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is permanent. Because if you love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether this person called you or not, as long as they are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll continue to love them. Whether you know this person or not, whether you expect something from them or not, whether you've asked them for a favor and they helped or not, you'll continue to love them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? What do you say? Why? Because loving for the sake of Allah is because of Allah. When you look at him and you say, by the way, there's personal love and there's religious love. And I explained that, you know, elsewhere in the book. Religious love and there is personal love. He's nice to you, you like him. Why? Personal. Bad to you, you lose that love. Why? Again, it's personal. The love of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not motivated by these things, but motivated by his piety and her piety. So if he is pleasing to Allah, if he's pious, if he's righteous, you'll continue to love him the same. And if he becomes more righteous, you'll love him even more. He loses that piety, you'll love him less. So that is more permanent because it's tied to Allah Azza wa Jalla, is not tied to you and your own feelings and your own circumstances or change of taste. The third is that it continues despite personal feelings, right? So suppose that I've been, you know, good to you, or you've been good to someone for a very long time, and then you do one thing and they forget all the good that you've done and they turn to be an enemy, right? That is basically because it is based on personal fluctuation of emotions. I'm feeling okay, I'm feeling generous, gracious, not. I choose to forgive, I choose not to forgive. It's all up to me. I'm the reference. I'm the middle, right? I'm the center. Whereas when we're saying that when you want to love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you don't become the center. Who's the center? Allah Azza wa Jal. So that love is protected from your own fluctuations. So whether, you know, you've been good to me your whole life, or I've never received a single thing from you, if Allah Azza wa Jal loves you, I will love you. Now, how do I know if Allah loves you? Based on appearances. You're close to him. You do this, you do that. Even if there was a quarrel between me and you, if we fight, I still observe the rights that Allah wants me to observe. I'll still give you the salam. I'll still protect you. I'll still conceal your secrets. I will not turn against you. I'll still be generous, forgiving towards you because Allah pushes me to be this way. So I will not turn, I will not sour because of you. So Allah Azza wa Jal shields you from my harm because I've loved you for His sake. And Allah will shield me from your harm because you've loved me for His sake. I will not misinterpret everything you say because I don't like you as much now. I will not look for your mistakes, right? All of these things happen because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is at the center, not us. And finally, and it doesn't mean finally that this is the end of its benefits, but that's the end of what I could come up with. Love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal unites because we need something bigger than ourselves to bring us together. So imagine if all of us just loved ourselves and only ourselves. Could we come together? It wouldn't be possible. That's why if you don't have religion, a society, a nation would have to invent something in the place of God for people to love so that they would come together. What is that? That's the nation, right? That's the country. Because how else could you bring everybody together to do the same thing? Because they need to love the same thing. So for some people, it's that charismatic leader, political, military leader that everybody loves. So if he says something, everybody will follow. So he can unite. If I don't have that person, what is going to unite people? Because they have to love the same thing. What is that? The country. Say, all of you belong here from this end to that end. The history is glory, the present is glory, the future is promising. So you weave a narrative, right? Fairy tales, a mythology. A mythology doesn't need to be fake, but a mythology about the nation that can bring everybody together, that everybody can be excited about. That's love. So everybody realizes we have to love more than ourselves. So what is real for us to love more than ourselves? It's Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's what's going to unite. That's what brings Muslims together so they could talk to each other, they could help each other, because I know that I need to love you and you need to love me, and we have things in common, and these things are based on loving Allah Azza wa Jalla and loving His Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Right? So the benefit of that love is that it brings trust. I can trust you, I can rely on you, I'm not alone. And that's why you need to love people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they need to love you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And loving them for that sake is an extension of loving Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as the issue of trust goes, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith, he said, رُؤْيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ جُزْءٌ مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ. He says the dream of the believer is a 40th, maybe 1/40, a 40th portion of prophethood. That is, if you were to divide prophethood into 40 parts, having a good dream that is from Allah Azza wa Jal that could foretell the future, tell you about things that have not happened yet, is 1/40 of prophethood. Right? Not that prophethood could be acquired, but that is the approximation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not something to be taken lightly if it's a message and a communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he continues alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, وَهِيَ عَلَى رِجْلِ طَائِرْ مَا لَمْ يُحَدِّثْ بِهَا. And it says, and it is as if it is tied to a bird's leg as long as he does not share it. Meaning it continues to float. It's not fulfilled. فَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ بِهَا سَقَطَتْ. He says, but if he shares it, he tells people about it, it falls. And what does that mean when it falls? It's fulfilled. It's happened. وَلَا تُحَدِّثْ بِهَا إِلَّا لَبِيبًا أَوْ حَبِيبًا. He says, don't then share it with someone unless they are wise or someone that you love. Someone who loves you. Right? So a wise person, because the wise will know how to interpret that thing, right? So that's what you should seek, someone who knows how to interpret. You don't share it with the ignorant who can, you know, guess haphazardly, oh, may mean this or mean that. If you don't know, then you don't talk. Aw habiba, or a loved one, someone who loves you, because the one who loves you, is not going to envy you because of it. It's not going to be distressed because of it if it's predicting something good for you. It's not going to ruin it for you. It's not going to propose a bad interpretation to harm you. So you trust them. And because you trust them, then you share that with them. So that's the element of trust that we are talking about, that when you love people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can trust them and they can trust you back. Right. So love and the taste of Iman. Why is it that when you love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you begin or you can find the taste of Iman? Because loving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal essentially means that you're receiving no benefit from it. You're not loving for benefit. You're loving for Allah Azza wa Jal. And that will go against your own impulse to love only what you like or what benefits you and to hate what harms you. Here you are loving Allah Azza wa Jal. And loving someone or something that may bring you no benefit, but you're doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal. So your ability to migrate hijrah from yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal, rise above yourself so that you would love for his sake and not only for yourself, to conquer the self and its ego, your ability to do this allows you to find the sweetness of Iman. Because when you love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, your Iman increases because you're loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So this is this migration from the limited self to Allah Azza wa Jal. From loving for ourselves to living, or living for ourselves to living for Allah Azza wa Jal. From us as the center to Allah Azza wa Jal as the center. And by the way, in modern life, who is the center? It's always the self. It's always the self. It's what you feel and what you want. It's what you desire. You're the center. So it's a process of migration where you decide that with all of these commercials and advertisement and upbringing and how the subject was created, because all of us are being recreated by whatever we see, to focus on you, your delight and your gratification. So you always are being pushed inside. Think about yourself, not about other people. So this is a hijrah, a migration that is difficult to be, but you have to do it, where Allah becomes the center. It's not what I feel, what Allah wants. It's not my laziness, but Allah is pushing me, so I'm going to do it. So you push yourself so that you are no longer the one in control. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is in control. So you surrender to Allah instead of surrendering your own desire. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that this is how you achieve the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Ibn Abbas said, أحب في الله وأبغض في الله ووالي في الله وعادي في الله فإنما تنال ولاية الله بذلك ولا يجد عبد طعم الإيمان وإن كثرت صلاته وصيامه حتى يكون كذلك. So he said, رضي الله عنه, he said, love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah and befriend for the sake of Allah and be foe for the sake of Allah, because indeed you will become a wali of Allah only if you do this. And a person will not find or have the sweetness of Iman even if he prays a lot and he fasts a lot until he is such, because the Iman then is incomplete. You could pray a lot and you could fast a lot, but where is your love for Allah Azza wa Jalla? There is movement. And there's barakah in that movement when you pray, and barakah in the fasting when you do. But then they still are deficient until you love Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? Could you imagine somebody who prays and he fasts, and they see people disobeying Allah but have no reaction? So what does that mean? That the love of Allah itself is what? Is weak, compromised. And that imadah may have become what? Habitual. Ibadah, but not deep, not effective. Who he says, no. You have to be emotionally attached to him subhanahu wa ta'ala through your salah and through your ibadah. Even if you don't end up praying as much or fasting as much, but you need to be emotionally attached to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to love Him. And only when you feel so attached to Him, so become so loving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you're going to choose a friend, you'll choose based on Allah. And when you're going to choose an emotion or a reaction, you'll choose based on Allah azza wa jal. That Allah means that much to you, and that proximity to Allah is what makes you a wali of Allah. Not just mere action or repetition. So what is the meaning of wali, by the way? It's someone who is close. Someone who is close. And someone, a human being who's close to you, is someone who looks after you. And someone who's happy when you're happy and angry when you're angry. That is what proximity is about. So when someone does not have that, those emotions, you understand the proximity is an illusion. So he said, if you want to be a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, don't just simply check how much you are doing physically. Check how much do you love Allah Azza wa Jal, and how close are you to what He loves and far away from what He hates. That's how you understand it. And another quote from Umm Darda radiallahu anha, where she said, when she was asked, مَا أَوْثَقُ عَمَلِكِ فِي نَفْسِكِ, it says, what action of yours do you trust the most? مَا أَوْثَقُ عَمَلِكِ فِي نَفْسِكِ, meaning among all the deeds that you have done, which is the one that you trust the most, or you rely on it the most? Or if you were to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, you say, this thing is a thing that might help among everything that you have done. She said, الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ, she said, loving for the sake of Allah. And again, if you were to ask yourself, why is that the thing that she identified as the thing that she trusts the most? Because again, the self receives no benefit from it. No benefit from it. Now, when you pray, there's a salah. There's a chance that what? You're not paying attention to what you're doing. You're just doing it. Or you're trying to win at someone's admiration. You're doing it because they're beside you. So you're praying because of their expectation. So there's that element there. So you receive a benefit from it, right? When you fast, you receive some benefit from it. Everybody's fasting. It's nice to break your fast together. There is some benefit in it. So when you think about all of these deeds, they could be mixed with self-interest and self-benefit. Loving, truly loving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal frees you from your own selfishness, because now you're receiving nothing from it. It is completely for Allah. Because when you see someone and you say, and you see that, mashallah, you know, they're doing great. As far as you could see, they're doing great. They're helping. They're doing this, 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 this. And again, no benefit is going to come and visit you from them. And you love them for Allah. That means that you have loved Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's why you love them. And the more that you push that, and the more that it grows, the more that is an act of ibadah. So it's actually an act of ibadah for you to sit, not simply only pray and fast, but to ask yourself, do I love Allah Azza wa Jal? Do I love this person for the sake of Allah? Let me contemplate, let me ponder how I can increase my love for them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because I love Allah because of this, 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 and they're attached to Allah because of this, 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 that's why I love Him for the sake of Allah. So now, yeah, you can have friends, and you can have loved ones on a personal level, but then you'll have friends and loved ones because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that's the case, then that's an indication that you have freed yourself of yourself and attach yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the final quote for today, inshaAllah, Makhul rahimahullah said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا فَإِنَّمَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ. He says, the one who loves a pious or a righteous man indeed only loves Allah. And what he means by that, rahimahullah, is that obviously he doesn't mean that that person is Allah, right? Right? Because some people could understand it that way. Oh, Allah, God is in all of us. We don't believe that God is in all of us or that we are divine. There's a complete separation between the divine and the created, and we're created, and there is nothing divine in us or about us, right? So that should be clear. That's not what he means. But he says, if you love a pious man for his piety, who are you actually loving? Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the one who's behind. So you could have a pious man or a scholar or a sheikh, a speaker, a da'iyah, whatever, and you could like them because they speak well. Is that for Allah Azza wa Jal? Is it? Good speakers. Is that for Allah? That's not for Allah. You like them because they're handsome. It's a fact, right? Because you're attracted to beautiful faces. Everybody, male or female, right? What is that experiment that they brought an infant and they brought him pictures of supermodels versus, you know, regular people, and he would kind of stare at the supermodels versus the regular people? So bad luck for everybody who's regular, right? So, you know, even babies realize that, oh, she's beautiful, not as more than, anyway, it's subjective anyway. But what was I talking about? Okay, I forgot what I was talking about. So, if you like this person, right, if you watch him because he's handsome, is that for Allah? No. You like you watching him because he's controversial. Is that for Allah? It's just entertaining. It's not for Allah Azza wa Jal. Not until you actually let go of all of this, so you realize the filters that I'm talking about, because you're seeing and you think, oh, I'm just watching Islamic programming or Islamic lectures, and it counts as ibadah. But I don't know if you've asked or I've asked yourself, is this for Allah? Like, am I learning something or am I being entertained? That's very different. So if you like entertainment, that's fine, as long as it's halal. But don't deceive yourself thinking that this was for Allah Azza wa Jal. No, it's not. For Allah Azza wa Jal is this person speaking the truth, speaking with knowledge. What he's saying, if I follow it, will it take me to Allah Azza wa Jal? Will it save me from hellfire? That then is someone who would be loved for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not simply because they are the best of speakers. Yani Musa alayhi salam, was he, in a sense, did he not stutter? He had a stutter to him, right? And Harun was a better speaker than Musa alayhi salam. Yet in the Quran, who's speaking all the time? Musa. Right? Even though he wanted him as support, but who was speaking all the time? You see, Allah is quoting Musa, 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 because what Musa is saying, because Musa is better than Harun, what Musa was saying was the significant thing. Harun was a support. Right? So, if you love a person, lillah, not because of country, not because of origin, not because of accent, not because of these things, but this person is pleasing to Allah, then you have loved Allah Azza wa Jal. And so if you have said to a person here in the masjid, which is going to come inshallah, so I don't want to burn it, but you see a person, I love you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, what do you mean? Huh? What do you mean? But we're going to come to that. So I'm not going to burn that yet. So we'll stop here inshallah. And let me know if you have any questions or comments or anything that was not clear. But the hadith is telling us, right, that you will start to find the sweetness of iman if you change the way that you look at people and you start to ask yourself, I like this person. There's a lot that we have in common. This person is funny. This person gives me food. This person invites me. This person is beautiful. All of that is beautiful. And we're going to get to that. Again, I think I'm getting ahead of myself because these things are important to build up what we call love. But then is that why I like them? Simply? Okay, is there a better reason? Am I not connected to every Muslim as long as they have iman based on love, even when you disagree with them, but as long as you still believe that they are Muslim, do you not owe them an element of love and that you need to love them for Allah's sake? Even if what they have is an iota of iman, you owe them an iota of love still. So a call for reflection, inshallah, that you really want to have that sweetness in your heart. Start to take a second look at people and say, I will love this person more for Allah's sake, and I will love this person more for Allah's sake. Because that, inshallah, will remind us that love should always be motivated by Allah. So I'm going to see, inshallah, if we have any online questions. But meanwhile, let me know, inshallah, if you have anything. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. What if someone is not? So someone who is not pleasing telling another. Okay. Okay, so I mean, so suppose, for instance, you're the one who's pious. I'm just trying to understand the question. You're just the one who's pious, or supposedly. Somebody comes and tells you, I love you for Allah's sake. Then you return back and you say, and I love you for Allah's sake. Okay, so if they're not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, what do you say? So we are going to come to that, inshallah. And the reply is, may Allah love you. Okay? So you don't have to profess love if you don't have that love. Right? So the adequate response to it, may Allah habbakallahu ladhi ahbabtani fih, may Allah love you, may Allah love you, the one that you've loved me for. That's the response. And we're going to get to that, inshallah, in a future hadith. So I want to kind of leave that to that, inshallah. Your first question is how to practice it. How you judge a person for the sake of Allah. So the most important thing is, the question is, how do you love someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? So the first important thing is that you need to love Allah first. You know, work on that. Because you can't kind of invent love for Allah's sake when it's not based on anything. It would be just a claim, a wish. So you have to have enough love of Allah Azza wa Jal that you feel happy when you think that Allah is pleased, and sad and angry when you know or you think Allah is angry. So develop that. So a stronger, more intense attachment to Allah Azza wa Jal paves the way for loving what Allah loves and whom Allah loves. So once you love Allah and you have that as your foundation, now you understand that I must extend it. It's not enough, as we talked previously. It has to extend. It's natural for us to expand. Then you look at what Allah loves and you say, I naturally should love this. And it will come easier because you already have that love in the back. So it will allow you to love what Allah loves and whom Allah loves. But if you don't have this, which is Allah's love, it's very hard to go and love what Allah loves at the same time. Because you can kind of clash with your own self. Your own self is not going to let you simply love like that without a motive, without a foundation. So love of Allah has to compete with your own love for your own self and remove it from the center. Again, you're not going to stop loving yourself, but you're not going to consider yourself to be the center of everything. Allah Azza wa Jalla takes the place, right? So that's how it happens. Allah. Wait, yeah. Let me check. Go ahead, yeah. For Allah's sake. So how do you differentiate between intuition and then loving or not loving someone for Allah's sake? Is that right? You interrogate the reasons. Like you could have, I mean, so are you talking about having a reaction to someone, unexplained reaction to someone, maybe because they are pleasing to Allah or displeasing to Allah? Okay, so intuition in the sense of, and then I just don't feel right about this or that person, right? I just have a feeling. So Intuition is human, and human emotions could be flawed. So you investigate that intuition. Your intuition could be accurate and sound. I'm uncomfortable with them. It turns out that they are uncomfortable. They do cause discomfort. Or you interrogate yourself and you find that, no, it's just basically my bias or whispers from the shaitan. So you interrogate, you ask, because you have no evidence. So you explore it until you have evidence. And in some cases, you don't really need to explore. You just, because you're not attached to the person, so you just stay away. And it doesn't harm you, doesn't benefit you. It's just a casual encounter. So that's fine. As long as, again, he's not a relative, he's not a friend, right? And you're just going to sever all connections based on an intuition or a feeling. Love and, you know, love and hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal are deeper because they're based on reasons. I didn't want to say logical, right? Because it's really different. It's not logical. But they're based on reasons, identifiable, public, a lot of times public, or sometimes they are hidden, because some taqwa is hidden. You don't understand. But you feel that this person, just from his face, this is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So you feel comfortable with them, or uncomfortable with other people, right? But at the same time, physically, they are obedient to Allah, or at least not disobedient. So you do base it on something. There's some grounds to it, versus the intuition that is just simply, I just don't like how I feel around them. That's different, right? I don't know if I've answered it, but I tried my best. Yeah, inshallah. Okay. Okay. Why do women have to wear hijab? Because Allah said so, right? Because Allah loves it. Let's tie it to what we're talking about. Because Allah loves it. And if you love Allah, you will do what Allah loves. Even if you don't understand it. Right? Isn't that what we're saying? That's the whole thing that we talked about today, that you may hate something and it's good for you. Right? So you may not like it. But we said if you love Allah Azza wa Jal, you'll trust Him. And if you trust Him, you will do it, even if you're not fully convinced. But once you do it, you'll find the benefits that are in it. So if you want to take it... And that's the best way, based on what Allah has revealed. I don't want to explain to you, oh, protect women, oh, the man's gaze, oh, why would I have to do this, right? I'm too tired. What I'll do is basically tell you, Allah said so, and that really is to your own benefit. And if you love Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will do what Allah loves, and then you will not question it. So push yourself, and do what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from you, and you'll discover the fruit of it all. And you will start loving what he loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if that was not the case, right? So I heard if you want to know the state Allah is with you, see the state your mother is with you, that if she happiness, I believe. Is this true? Not 100%, right? Because your mother could be angry with you for bad reasons. Your mother is a human being after all, right? So the saying goes that if you want to see how much you matter to Allah, see how much Allah matters to you. That's really nicer, right? Like, you want to see how much you matter to Allah, because this is ghaib. Like, with Allah Azza wa Jal, who am I? Am I a Siddiq? Because you would want to believe that. Am I like among the shuhada? Maybe at that level, maybe that would be great. You say, okay, see how Allah Azza wa Jal is in your life. How much space does He occupy? How much time do you spend with Allah Azza wa Jal? How much do you worry about Him? So how much does He matter to you? So if you say 5%, well, this is your 5% with Allah. 10%, you're then 10% with Allah. If He matters a lot, then you matter to Allah Azza wa Jal a lot. So that's better. Now, of course, this doesn't mean, just going back to the question, that you shouldn't honor your mother and respect her and, you know, tolerate even... Sometimes, not all mothers do that, but sometimes her abuse when she abuses you or her agitation when she's agitated, you tolerate all of that. But it doesn't mean that if she's happy with you, in general, رِضَ اللَّهِ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. If Allah will be happy with you, if your parents are happy with you. But it doesn't mean that everything that they will say and everything that they will do is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. You simply do your best to please them, right? And if at times, right, they're just angry because they are human being despite your best effort, then that's the case. it doesn't mean that Allah now hates you because your mother is not happy with you, right? Does that make sense? Is that complete, kind of? Okay. Sometimes we have deluded motives to love a person. We thought it is for the sake of Allah due to the person's righteousness, but it might be due to something else without noticing it. What questions do we need to ask ourselves to remove the potentiality that we love others other than Allah Azza wa Jal? There's nothing more than, again, interrogating the motives and interrogating why you're doing this and asking Allah Azza wa Jal for clarity if you think you don't have clarity. So if you find yourself, your love for someone increasing because their taqwa has increased and decreasing because their taqwa has decreased, that is your signal that you're loving them for Allah Azza wa Jal, not for personal reasons. But if you're going to love the person the same no matter what they do, then that's not for Allah. You just like them because you like them. And often these things intermix. It's hard really to detangle all of that. Because you like the person, but you also, for Allah Azza wa Jal, but also starting to like the person himself, right? So detangle both by say asking yourself, no, listen, I began this for Allah Azza wa Jal. Let it continue to be for Allah Azza wa Jal, so that I will respect and esteem this person for Allah, which makes it, by the way, easier to protect yourself from harm if they make a mistake, right? So a people will, as again I said, why are you listening to so-and-so? Is it because of Allah Azza wa Jal or is it because of somebody else? You could be attached like a fan to someone, a speaker, especially if someone was famous. So, and if they lose their iman or they do something bad, it compromises your iman. It's just like let go of all of iman, because he betrayed you, right? Right? Whereas if you know that this person is a fallible human being, that you should fluctuate in your love based on Allah Azza wa Jal, then he's not the center, but Allah is. So there's like idol worship, right? That's what I'm getting at. There's idol worship. And that can happen in Islamic context as well. Like, I'm a good Muslim because he's telling me to. He's telling me to do this and not to do that. So you're attached to him, not to Allah Azza wa Jal. So when that, quote-unquote, idol collapses, you collapse. Whereas he's supposed to be doing what? Pointing you elsewhere, to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what if this person loses their iman, or they are, been suffering, or they've involved in, unsavory acts? Let's suppose. Then what? Aren't they human beings? Are you going to lose your iman because of it? You're supposed to be attached to someone higher, not to him. So this is how you interrogate. You ask yourself and you keep asking yourself until you find out why you're loving this person, right? Wallahu a'lam. And I guess there must be something else. What do we do with close relatives who clearly rejects and goes against Allah and invites others to? How to love or hate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case? So of course, first of all, what does it mean that he rejects and goes against Allah Azza wa Jalla and invites others to do so? So I'll just take it at face value that that's what they're doing. So if they're doing that, even though they are relatives, your dilemma here is that they're relatives at the same time, they're angering Allah Azza wa Jalla. What do you do with it? So you owe them rights that belong to relatives. They could be parents, they could be children. So you still owe them rights that belong to relatives. You don't necessarily disconnect at the moment. They're still the parents, they're still the children, they're still the cousins and the uncles and whatever. Unless you tell me there is harm that they're causing, then that's another thing that we could talk about. But here I don't get that here. Wallahu a'lam. But at the same time, right, and you may actually, on a personal level, like them because they are relatives. Right? You can't let go of that. Maybe. But at the same time, you have to say to yourself that the choices that they have made anger Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, when he looks at you doing these things, saying these things, inviting people to whatever wrong or falsehood you're following, Allah hates it. And that I hate that in you. You have to say that to yourself. I hate that in you. I hate that part of you. So there's an element toward that. So love is divisible. And we'll talk about that maybe, Allahu A'lam, later. Divisible meaning what? You could love a portion and hate a portion. Which is, by the way, right? And we're going to repeat this again, so I don't feel that I'm introducing it too soon. That's the case with everybody almost, right? Do you love everything about everybody? No, it's not possible. And maybe with like an exception, you know, one or two. But everything about everybody? No, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this, but I hate that. That's the same way. So for those relatives, right, I like you or love you here, right? Because of that connection, kinship that we have. But these actions, these beliefs are hate. And you could have that relationship with them. So, but still try and keep trying, because your connection with them, since you know the truth and you have a connection, there is more of a chance that you'll be able to guide them and save them with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, last chance, inshallah. Ah, tafadhal. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So you're asking about practical steps that will help you increase your love for Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And you, for the talk, how to love for Allah's sake, the practical steps, right? Mm-hmm, okay. Nah. So, I mean, that connects to what he was talking about, right? So, yes, what you said also, is it something that builds up with time? And it does, just like with the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, because we're supposed to keep growing the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, right, as we live, with every single day, with every single act, keep push, and even if we retreat at times, to keep pushing forward, so that we gain, ultimately, we gain grounds, we don't lose them. So if you love Allah Azza wa Jal more, as we said, you have to ask yourself, I also need to love what Allah loves. So you attach yourself to that. So if you find yourself loving Allah more, it's natural for you now to love the Quran more. Or if you want to love Allah more, you love the Quran, or you attach yourself to the Quran so that you would love Allah more. You find yourself that finding more comfort in the salah. Then you ask yourself, I'm not finding that. Then you invest more of your time in the salah in order for you to connect with Allah Azza wa Jalla. That increases love for Allah, and the increased love of Allah will increase your love for the salah. So all these foundations that increase love for Allah Azza wa Jal, all these acts, so more dhikr to love Allah, and more love Allah, the more that you love to mention His name. So kind of drown yourself slowly, right, as you're kind of going into like this swimming pool from the shallow to the deep end. So from the shallow, you increase what? You get yourself acclimated to the water and then get more and more and more of it. And then the more that you get, the better swimmer you'll be. So you'll get more of that until you'll be able to swim there. So, more acts and more contemplations. And when you have this, then you push yourself in the direction of loving for Allah's sake. So now you love the acts, now you need to love the people. So who is inviting to for Allah's sake? Who is championing the sunnah, defending the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Who is in the salah? They could be anywhere else, but now they're in the salah. Who's helping clean the masjid, vacuuming the masjid? May Allah reward them. So remind yourself of the righteousness of these people. Again, we're judging by appearance, but the righteousness of these people, and love them for it. And that's how you grow that love. Okay, so it requires more awareness of what you see and inviting yourself to like it and appreciating the good that you see in people. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, so we're good on the sister side, online, brother side. Good? طيب. جزاكم الله خير. I will see you inshallah بإذن الله تعالى next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.